He looks determined without being ruthless. Something heroic in his manner. There's a courage about him. Doesn't look like a killer. Comes across so calm. Acts like he has a dream. Full of passion.
You don't trust me, huh?
Well, you know why.
I do. We're not supposed to trust anyone in our profession anyway.
Peace, 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 and welcome to The Rematch, which is part of the BasketballNews.com podcast network. On The Rematch, you'll hear in-depth interviews with notable names from all walks of life. Because sometimes the media just doesn't get it right. The Rematch is that second opportunity to clarify, put things in proper context, correct fake news or misreported controversy. The media still exists as the most powerful entity on earth because they control the minds of the masses. I'm Matan Thomas, and the full truth is what we are aiming to catch. Many media stories omit details that would dilute their clickbait roar, and that's why there's a need for The Rematch. On this episode, I sat down with two New York legends, John Starks and Raekwon of the Wu-Tang Clan. This was an amazing discussion as we reminisced on the 90s era when they both ruled New York. John Starks talked about his Knicks days, the famous dunk over MJ, coming up short in the finals, and his passionate play. While Raekwon talked about the formation of Wu-Tang, attempts to reach the level of Cuban Lynx, his debut album, the passing of DMX, and being a Knicks fan. It was such an honor to be able to interview New York royalty. Hope you enjoy.
John Starks and Raekwon, legends. What's going on, brothers? How y'all doing?
Chilling, good. Man.
Hey man, listen. This is a special honor for me. Coming on The Rematch to have both of y'all. So I grew up fans of both of you. You know, in the early '90s. You know, I'm in high school, middle school, high school, and biggest Knicks fan. You know what I mean? John Starks fan because you from Tulsa. You know, went to Central, even though I went to Booker T, but it's like right around the corner. And then when Wu-Tang, when y'all came on the scene, you just took over everything. And I'm in Tulsa, and y'all took over everything. I don't even know if you know that you took over everything like that in places like Tulsa. So it's a big honor, and you know, just want to thank y'all both for coming on the show. First of all,
no question.
Yeah, now let me ask y'all this: Did y'all know each other? Did y'all meet each other before? Have y'all crossed paths?
Nah,
I don't think so. Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah, wow. So this is making connections, legendary connections, because y'all. Y'all was at that time in the early 90s, you know, the Knicks was at its peak. You know, Wu-Tang just came out. Y'all really took over New York. I'm surprised that y'all never, you know what I mean, crossed paths. Yeah. But that had to be a special time, especially in New York. I couldn't even imagine.
Oh, no question. I wasn't going out that much in the city. So I wasn't out in the clubs or anything like that. And so, but you probably, Ray, you probably ran into Mace and all. A lot of us probably in the clubs and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's just to me, it was just, you know, at that time the Knicks was the Knicks all over in the rap game. And you know, y'all definitely inspired us to be great, you know, just putting teams together that was solid, that really put in the work. It really inspired the whole music world because, like I said, you know, I had uncles that was, you know, fanatic, basketball fanatics, and, you know, you don't even know how it felt to go to a game, especially a New York game in the Garden and see you guys getting it in. So, you know, that kind of definitely created that whole crew thing for us. You know, the crew thing was serious, and to have a bomb squad like you guys, it was amazing. So definitely appreciate that love, though.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, that's great. I remember being young. So I spent my summers in New York. So, you know, my grandfather would take me to the Knicks games. I mean, we'd be way up in the nosebleeds, you know what I'm saying? But I was in the building. And it was just the atmosphere. It was like electrifying. You know what I mean? I mean, it was like something you can't even describe. And it's interesting because, you know, we all talk about, you know, us back from Tulsa, we all talk about our favorite John Starks play and everything like that. I'm going to ask you, Ray, first, what was your favorite John Starks play that you remember on the court?
I don't really have a favorite from him because he was always like a great contender. Like, he just got it in, you know? You could tell he was the guy that really was focused on the court, you know? Like, I would say I was the same way doing my thing in the music business. Like, I was about the team. I wasn't about my specific plays or moves. It was just about being a supportive character on the team and doing my role. So he had multiple things, you know, just playing against Michael and really just, you know, going hard body with him and letting him know, listen, yeah, you Mike, but I'm John, nigga. Like, you going
to right. So for me, though, it was when you dunked on all three of them. Like, I don't care if you be like, you know, you came down baseline, put it on all three of them. That was my favorite. That's the one that was like the
busy. He has so many different textures of what he was doing at that time. It was too many for me to count, though, you know?
And the style that you play with, John, it was like all heart. Was like, that's what represented New York to me at that time. Like, it was that gritty lunch pail, you know what I mean? All heart, you know what I mean? Lay it all out on the floor. And that's why you was always a fan favorite. I mean, did you always just embrace that, or how did that even come about like that?
Well, you know where I grew up at, so north side of Tulsa, Oklahoma, yeah. And my path to the NBA was a little different than most guys, and so I had to fight, scratch, and claw just to get there. And I think, Ray, you said it right, man. I play to win, you know what I mean? I don't go out there, everything is about the team. Individual honors didn't really mean anything to me if it wasn't a team honor. And you hit the nail on top of the head, bro, when you talk about, you know, just being in there and being for the fellas, and that's what I was always about, you know, even growing up, you know what I mean? But so much about me, it's about, you know, can we go out there and get it in and win, you know what I mean? That's the number one thing. And so, but, you know, just growing up, you know my background, so, you know, having brothers and the neighborhood I grew up in, you know, you had to be that way. You know, just going back out there and just, you know, no matter who you go against, you know, you had to lay it out there on the line and go out there and play to win. And that was my mentality every game, no matter who I face.
And what he's talking about is North Tulsa. That's who we both grew up in. And so it was just and there was a style. So what he's referring to is like, you know, you just had to, it was this gritty style where, you know, you fought for everything. And you stood up to everybody. You wasn't scared about from nobody, no matter who they was, even if it was MJ. You know what I mean? Yeah. So that was just the way it was. Yeah. Now let me ask you, John, was you a fan of Wu-Tang music? Like, yeah, did you have a favorite track?
Well, Cream. Get that money, dollar bill, y'all. You know, you know, and those, you know, Wu-Tang and that whole, you know, the hip-hop era, you know, really hyped us up, you know, before the game. You know what I mean? And you put on a track like that and you just start like focusing, you know, going out there and you got to get that money when you step out on that court. You know, that was our mentality, you know? And so I appreciate, you know, the Wu-Tang Clan, Raekwon, and all those guys, man, because, you know, they brought in a whole new era. You know what I mean? An era that, you know, spoke about the streets and you know, the streets. And so you identify with groups like the Wu-Tang Clan and Biggie and Pac, and I can go on and on, you know what I mean? And so it was amazing, that era right there and the music, and everybody talking about hip hop is not going to go no further than this, and look at it now, you know what I mean? It's on top.
You know, I want to ask you, Ray, you know, because the way that y'all are a special team, because y'all had so many people. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, sometimes groups have like three people at the most. You know what I mean? But y'all had a whole crew. Talk about how, you know, make the correlation with y'all forming as a team to a basketball team. You know what I mean? Because y'all had talents. Y'all was able to shine on your own. Cats were able to do, you know, individual. And all the individual projects, That's the thing. Everybody was coming out with something that was just fire.
It was crazy.
Like everybody. Nah, but crazy. Then y'all all came back to the team. I thought that was special. That you just didn't see that.
For us, it was just more about representing where we from, you know? And in the neighborhood that we lived in, it was like every neighborhood had their own specific crew. You know, it was like a team. So we was representing Park Hill Projects and, you know, Staten Island in general. Of course, we represent the whole Staten Island, but we coming from a place called Park Hill. So for us, it was like certain artists. Well, I ain't going to call us artists back then. Certain guys that rhyme, we knew who they were. And when we formed, it became a team. It became like, even if I didn't rock with you heavy, I'm signed to this franchise now. You know what I mean? I'm signed to this team, man. You know, it's the same thing as being, you know, being an athlete and being on a team. You know, you have to respect the players that you play with. And also you have to see the greatness in the players that you play with. Yeah. And I seen it early. I mean, you know, when RZA wanted to, you know, construct this team, you know, I was probably one of the first guys that he called to really start rounding dudes up. But it goes back to being a team. And, you know, for us, that's how we felt. We was the golden team for Staten Island. We was the guys that felt like everybody you could put us up against, we had somebody that could challenge each man. So it does fall in the same category as, you know, as a basketball team, you know. And some players were stronger than others. And, you know, but that didn't say that person wasn't ill, because I felt like even though myself and Method Man or Old Dirty Bastard might have been the highlight of the team, I mean, you still had other guys that was dominant in their position. Mm-hmm. So it always was about team. It always, and when we went out there, that's how we carried ourselves. It's like, yo, If somebody get at you, then I'ma jump in. I'ma play. Let me get them. You know what I mean? It was that mentality. Let me stick them. You know, boom. You go to this guy or whatever. So, it really represented a time where crews were teams. I don't care how you put it. You know, these are the guys I go home with at night. These are the guys I love. These are the guys that we're gonna have our little personal, you know, quarrels with, but at the end of the day, when we step out there, we get on that stage, it's all one. It's going to always be one forever, and that was our mentality, you know, just to go out there and just handle, you know, and we felt dominant, you know. We, you know, in the 90s, you got to remember, man, the 90s is a serious time because sports, entertainment, music, all of that was just, it was going to the next level, you know. So for us, it was always about go out there and represent. You know, I remember we started getting so big to where we started to feel like, yo, we need uniforms. You know what I mean? That shirt you got on right now, uniform. That's not a T-shirt. That's a uniform. Yeah. You know? I tell people all the time, when you look at our first album, Into the 36 Chambers, we all had black hoodies on. They looked it like uniforms, but all it was really a Wu-Tang sticker on top of a black hoodie. So we wanted to be that team that people could identify as a whole, you know, not just one person or two of us. It had to be the team, you know. So when you had that W on, it meant a lot, you know. It meant like, yo, we one of the hottest groups in the world. I mean, that's what we felt like at that time. Yeah. You know, when we had guys on our team that was strong, the GZA, you know, being one of the most intelligent rappers in the world to me at that time, and still is, like, you know, I would say GZA probably would be a Ewing, you know, or Oakley, you know what I mean? You know, I would have been Starks. That's why.
You've been Starks.
Starks at that time, because I didn't want to lose.
Right.
I was the springboard of the crew, where it's like, yo, jump on my back. I'm going to set it off. I'll get out in the front. Yeah. No problem. Put me on whoever. He's not going to score.
Right.
I gave my word on that. That's how we would sit down and kick it. You know what I mean? The same way. Like, yo, you get up there, yo, you represent. But it was always a battle thing for us, man. And it was competing. And I remember those early days of, like, they had this thing called Jack the Rapper going on. Yeah. And, you know, before we even really started getting big, this was a place where a lot of MCs would just come and, you know, we'd stand off six paces and draw. Like, you know, and that was fun to us, just getting out there and just hearing dudes rhyme. And then they get to hear what we doing. So to me, all that was the same thing as being in the league, you know. Yeah. It's like, you really had to go out there and bang out to be special, and that's what we was doing.
It was interesting how you made that correlation, because now with the Knicks, I saw y'all the same way. Like, y'all would maybe have little inner battles sometimes. I mean, sometimes you see it on the screen. I mean, we watch it again. Yeah. You see y'all fussing with each other, but then y'all have all each other's back. You know, if anything happens outside the crew, you know what I mean? Y'all all jump to each other's defense. And I thought that was so great. And that's that special bond that y'all had. Talk about that bond that y'all had and how that really helped y'all, you know what I mean, propel y'all to be that special team that you were.
It was just love, man. It was just knowing where we came from and realizing our dreams is starting to come true. Yeah. You know, when you start getting a couple of dollars and you get out of the neighborhood, you're able to help your friends and your family, and you realize, yo, wow, you know, this can really happen. You humble yourself, you know. It's nothing that could make you forget those times of not having a job or having a position in the world where people respect it. So a lot of times when we have our verbal situations, because it never really got physical, it always is verbal, but, you know, you chill for about an hour or two or maybe even a day, and you come back to the job the next day like, yo, that's in the past.
Right.
We got something in front of us that's very powerful and people love us. So the people was making us put down a lot of the bullshit when it comes to the egos. You know, when you're dealing with so many talented guys in one crew, egos kick in. They kick in. You cannot control that. Mm-hmm. You know, you cannot control that. But at the end of the day, we never allowed ourselves to forfeit what we're here to do.
Yeah.
So it was always about, yo, they love us. We got to get over this shit. And when we get out there on that motherfucking court, y'all don't know shit.
Yeah.
You know, when we off the court,
Right. The court, then you can have it.
Then it goes back into the trap.
Yeah. Was that the same with y'all, John? The same kind of thing?
He's explaining exactly the mentality that you gotta have as a team, and you know this time, you know, you're gonna have different personalities. You got 12 guys on a basketball team. Everybody got their own personality. Everybody got their own ego. But when you got a focus and when you got a plan and you got the eye on the prize, that brings you all back together and keeps you in there. Yeah, we had fights and battles with one another, you know. Sometimes it did get physical, especially during practice. It did get physical. But at the end of the day, like he said, you know, you brush it off and you come back because, you know, you in it for one another. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, I can remember plays where I used to, you know, go at guys on the court and they come back at me. And the reporter asked me after the game, now, what was that about? I was like, what about? You know what I mean? That wasn't nothing. You know what I mean? That wasn't nothing. You know, we get the win. That's all about. You know what I mean? So, yeah, but, you know, we was on edge like that, and Rouse had us like that. He had us foaming at the mouth and you know, at each other's throat. But then he opened the cage and we go out on that court. We unleash it out there on the court, you know, whoever we playing against. And so, that was just our mentality. You know, we took on the mentality of New York in general, you know what I mean? And Rouse wanted us to be that gritty, hard-nosed, just get at the basketball team. And we went out there and represented the city.
Were there always factors, outside factors that were trying to kind of seep in? And this is a question for both of y'all, to kind of seep in and splinter y'all into whisper in one ear, hey, you could be doing better if this cat over here wasn't, or you, because I know that happens all the time on the court. I'm sure that happened with y'all as a crew, you know, with the Woo. You know, did y'all he sees some of that kind of forming, and then how did y'all not let that, you know what I mean?
Well, that's the media. For us, it was the media. And Riles always talked about, you know, not letting nothing, you know, outside of these walls enter inside our thinking. You know what I mean? I got the best advice when I first came to New York with Trent Tucker. And he told me, he said, you know, when you start doing well, don't read the paper. Because if you start, you know, reading your clippings, you'll let all that enter into you. Then all of a sudden, you know, you start listening to talk radio and, you know, they killing you when you have a bad game. And all that stuff started to seep inside of your thinking. And I remember I never read the newspaper. I never listened to talk radio my whole time of playing. And then when guys came here, you started to see that. You started to see them listening to talk radio, reading the newspaper, and it was affecting their play. You know, I'm not going to name the guy that I played with, but I had to, like, pretty much jump down the chest just to get him to, like, you know, stop all that, that BS. You know what I mean? And don't be bringing this to this team. And so, but he got on board, and, you know, he became a pretty good ball player. So it's just about, you know, you keeping, you know, your focus and not letting, you know, the outside forces disrupt what you're trying to get accomplished as a team.
Right. Let me ask you this, though. The documentary, American Saga, right? So it taught us a lot about the Wu that we didn't know. And I thought about it when you was talking about the different crews and how some of y'all was from different crews, but then once you formed, you know what I mean, under the Wu and Ray and, you know, you and RZA got y'all all together and everything like that, y'all became one crew. Was some of the stuff in the documentary, like, was it factual or was it just more kind of made for movie? I've heard people saying that a lot of times, like, was you and, because you and Ghost was obviously real, real tight. You know, I was watching the Verses. Now, let me tell you, that Verses was, listen, I had to send the kids downstairs. I was turning it up. I was rocking. You know what I mean? I was about to even break out my Timberlands before I remember my wife said no outside boots in the house. But you know what I mean? But still, I'm sitting there rocking the whole time with it. And y'all had this special chemistry. But then watching in the documentary, it looked like y'all was just beefing all before. And I didn't know how that really formed. How did y'all get so tight? And was that documentary kind of, you know, exaggerated a little bit as far as y'all beef?
You talking about the Showtime documentary?
Yeah, the Showtime one. The American Saga one.
Okay, all right. Yeah, well, that's the Hulu series, though.
The Hulu series, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, definitely that was a movie that was inspired by a lot of true events. You know, some of it, you know, of course, it's movie-driven. You know how that goes, you know.
All right.
But, you got to remember, you know, like I said earlier, you know, we all from Staten Island and a lot of us didn't hang out every day together. You know, we went to school, you know, we crossed paths with each other. Everybody had their own direction at that time. And for us back then, you know, hip hop was everything, you know. So, you know, one thing about RZA, I would call him like a nomad because he would be in my neighborhood, he would be in Ghost neighborhood, he would hang out on the other side of Staten Island in certain parts, and he would build his relationship with people, you know, in general, just coming up as kids, you know. And for us, it was just more about, okay, I heard of him, he's nice, you know what I mean, get it in, you know. Then it's going to take a little time for me to trust him because at that time, I didn't know him. And I think that's what any team, you know, it's like coming in the classroom and you the new kid on the block. It's like everybody's going to be sizing you up and looking at you and seeing if you're really going to deliver. Right. So for us, it was more about learning to love each other, you know, learning to respect each other and build each other's confidence when it was needed. And that's what we did. We just went through our times. But once we started to see that the chemistry was making sense, it brought us together. It was like, it's like red light, green light, 1, 2, 3. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you get closer once you hear that 1, 2, 3, you know, right. And the next thing you know, we all in the same van loving each other. But, you know, it's ups and downs. You know, every team, it you know, you have those moments where you go through things with your crew, you know what I mean? And that makes you great because y'all able to get past it, get back into what it is that we're trying to do and win, you know? So if it was something that I felt like when it came to a rhyme, you know how hard it is to tell your brother, nah, that rhyme is whack. You know, but you got to figure it out. And sometimes it can become brutal where it's like, it ain't disrespectful. It's just me being real because I see your true potential. Yeah. So these are the things that we had to go through to come up with each other to be great. You know, when you look at Wu, my thing back then was to prove to the guy who I felt was the most illest on the mic was the Jizza. I wanted to impress him, you know, and everybody wanted to impress him because he had the longest stats. He been there longer than us. So, you know, it was always about looking at him and RZA as the captains and be like, yo, did I do good? Or no, give me a little bit more. You know what I mean? It was always about the temperament. You know, and sometimes the temperament could be brutal. Sometimes the temperament could be like, yeah, baby, I needed that. I needed that spark right there. Yeah, you went in. You know, that's why when people ask us all the time, yo, when we get on records, are they set up for everybody to go? No, it's not like that. It's about whoever come in and then they start hitting those points. Right. You start hitting those points. It's like, oh, shit, I got to come in and score too. You know what I mean? I can't be the only one that don't score. You know, so that was our mentality. But far as the film is concerned, the film is just real, man. It was just kids growing up in the communities, just growing and learning. And learning what it is to be a star instead of just being an artist, a rapper, you know? Yes. I tell people all the time, anybody could play ball, anybody could be a rapper, but can you be a star? Are you ready to go in there and challenge yourself to be on that level? That's what it was about for the Wu. You know, so like you said, you had other guys that wasn't as strong to others and, you know, to the media. And then they would try to throw salt in the wounds and we would have to calm that individual down and tell them, listen, we know your potential, bro.
Right.
We know you get busy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Prime example, U-God. You know what I mean? I love U-God. Me and U-God is childhood friends. You know, he didn't really catch a lot of wreck on Into the 36 Chambers album. And he caught a lot of turmoil, but you know, we laughed it off and he laughed it off. But when you sit down and you think of those records that really was popping, my brother was on there. Right. He was on there setting it off on a lot of classic joints. So at the end of the day, what can try to hurt you can only make you stronger if your mind is set in that direction.
That's true.
That's what we was at with it.
You know, one of the things that both of y'all have in common is y'all both have this urge to always pass on wisdom to the younger generation. So, John, I mean, you came and spoke in my middle school, like Carver Middle School. You came and you spoke, and it's crazy because like we was all locked in to everything that you said, like everything, and you were just talking to us. I don't know if you remember Coach West.
Brought you.
And it's little stuff. It's little stuff that you don't even necessarily remember. But I remember every single thing that you said, and it was so impactful for me and Ray. The same thing with you. You know, I hear you even when you were on, like you on Griselda in the first intro, and you passing wisdom to them. Like I hear you on an interview, and you always passing wisdom to the young cat. Where did that urge and that responsibility come from for y'all to really? Because not everybody does it. To be honest with you, not all ball players do it. Not all people in hip hop do it, you know. So, John, I'll let you go first. Where did that come from? Of you wanting to give back and put younger cats on and pass on that wisdom to them?
Well, I just think it's coming from your upbringing and stuff that you go through, and you know the tough times that you endure, and you know to have people in your corner that's teaching you. About giving back, you know how Coach West was, you know, he was all about giving back, you know. I can remember him, Ray, he's my uncle, but he was an All-American NAIA tennis player. And when he used to come home, used to go down to Lincoln Park, the park where we all grew up playing basketball, but he used to give free lessons to kids. And he used to take me out. And, you know, I used to see him just giving, you know, from his heart and you know, not asking for anything in return and you know, and trying to teach, you know, young people about tennis as well as about the game of life. And so when I got fortunate enough and blessed and put in a position, you know, and have that status, so-called status, where, you know, you have kids looking up to you, I think it's just inside of you to, you know, speak wisdom. And so they won't have to go through the same trouble that you had to go through. And hopefully that you can touch someone that can, you know, make a difference in their lives and inspire them to be great. You know what I mean? So I think it's just something that's every individual that has that platform should do, you know what I mean? Because, you know, without people, you know, pushing me and giving me that wisdom, no telling where I would have been. I know where I would have been, you know, because what I went through. And so it just made it easy for me to come back in the neighborhood and tell my story. And because you grab them once they understand you have the same background as they do, you know what I mean? And that's when you grab kids' attention, when they know that you've been through the same thing and you was able to come through it in a blaze of glory and be able to, you know, make something of yourself. And that inspire young people.
That's the truth. That's the truth. What about you, Ray? Why do you have that burning desire to always pass on wisdom?
Well, for me, you know, and everything John said was definitely beautifully said, because it's the real, you know, you learn from older people that got better experience than you, you know. But for me, knowledge is always free. You know, we always been that way, you know, trying to educate each other to what's going on, because like he said, you know, that's the key. It's like, you know, me being a 5%er back in the days, that's what it taught me, you know, knowledge, you know, to know the ledge. When you break down that word knowledge, you know, you split it in half, syllable, you know, ledge, know the ledge. So for us, it was always important for us to build. You know, you have to build. You have to continue to educate those that's uneducated. And if you don't, you held responsible to some degree. So yeah. For me, it was always about giving it up, giving that free knowledge out, man. Knowledge is free, man. It's like, that's what it's about. And for us, you know, each one learned, you know, each one teach one. You know, these were the things that we used to say in the neighborhood, each one teach one. You know, wisdom is the wise words, you know. And those things really resonated with me down the line throughout my life. And if it was something that I could give somebody who I felt really had the potential to be great, it was my duty. It was my job to come and say, nah, brother, don't do it that way.
Right.
Don't do it that way. You gonna play yourself. That do it this
way. There you go. Yeah.
You know, and you know, even in our earlier times, when right before we really started taking off, I remember we used to go and have conversations with executives and different people in the music business that we just wanted to sit down and hear them talk. Mm-hmm. You know, and they were telling us real shit, like, yo, listen, you can lose your family in this business. You could lose, you know, hold of who you are, you know, and those things were really important to us because we still were young. So when I see a young guy or a young female that has so much potential, I want to let them know, yo, you got it. Don't drop the ball, because you can drop it. You know, you can lose sight of where you're going if you don't have that surroundings around you to tell you certain things. And sometimes we become naive to wanting to listen. You know, and I think it's important. God is my witness. You know, Papa Wu, he always used to say this: a good listener is a good learner. And when he said that, it was like sparks just was flying through my head. Boom, boom, boom. He's right. Yo, boom, boom. You know, so it's all about being able to catch the torch and then pass it.
Yeah.
pass it in the greatest way. You know what I mean? We want to see our people win. We want to see our people overcome. And you know, this is what guys such as ourselves, our franchises have helped to create, you know, not only from a money-wise situation where, you know, you have all these young millionaires now and, you know, guys really making a lot of money because they took time to listen and understand from the people that did it before them or even the people that was just intelligent enough to just tell you right from wrong and you'd be like, all right, I needed to know that. You know, I don't care if it was just one lesson that you learned that day. It completed that day for us. So right. I try to tell people all the time, like, if you ain't ready to listen, you're not ready to grow.
That's true. That's true. Let me ask you all this, because I'm really all about, you know, helping young people and being an inspiration for young people. And I know how they look at us. Athletes, entertainers, rappers, they look at us and they pay attention. And I want to ask y'all some, you know, tough question, but I'll start with you, John. The biggest thing that you had to overcome on the court, the toughest thing that you had to overcome, and I've asked you this before, and I'll, you know, I'm thinking about it, I'll tell you like mine was, while I was playing with the Wizards, I had open heart surgery, right? So bouncing back from that, and I had so many young cats, you know, come to me and email me and stuff like that, but like, hey, I saw the way that you, you know, bounced back from having surgery. And you came back and played ball after that, and that inspired me. It's crazy because you don't even know how people are looking at you and watching your situation, you know what I mean, and paying close attention. So, John, I remember before asking you about it was the series and the finals, and you went something for something. You know what I mean? I don't remember what it was, but you took it was something. It was 2 for what? What was it?
2 for 18.
It was 2 for 18? Yeah.
2 for 18. Game right. 7, yeah.
And game 7. And how did you bounce back from that?
That was tough, you know what I mean, because you know, you put so much into, you know, trying to win a championship, and you just felt like you just let your teammates down, you let the organization down, and most important, you let the city down, you know what I mean, because that's what I was playing for. You know, New York has the greatest fans. You know, the greatest fans. And, you know, I wanted it so much for them. And to come up and have a game like that, it was heartbreaking. You know what I mean? I can remember after the game, I just stayed in the shower for about 20 minutes crying. And you know what I mean? Because this is something you dream about your whole life growing up. And you're on the courts by yourself and you're out there shooting. And you got the championship on the line. And you shoot it, you never miss it. You know what I mean? So, and to be able to come up short like that, it was heartbreaking. And so I didn't know what to turn to, you know, during that summer. Didn't want to be around people. And, but I prayed a lot, you know what I mean? And I thought about people, great players that went through, played through game sevens and had bad games, like Magic Johnson, you know what I mean? Had a bad game, but he was able to bounce back and come in the chip. And so I really focused on that. Is like, okay, I'm going to get another opportunity next year and I'm going to work my ass off to get back healthy, because I was playing with just coming off a meniscus tear a month before the playoffs. And so I was probably playing at like 75, 80% during that whole thing with my knee. And so that summer, I just worked my butt off to say, okay, we got to get back because I got to redeem myself. You know what I mean? And I'm not going to let this tear me down. You didn't see guys that had bad games and all of a sudden their life just erodes.
Right.
You know what I mean? And you didn't see athletes, you know, before your eyes just erode. And I said, you know, I'm not going to be one of those. You know what I mean? You've been through tougher times than this growing up. You know what I mean? You had to fight. You had the nights that you didn't eat. You know what I mean? Water off, electricity off, things like that, you know. So, you know, you have to lean on your path and what you've been through and develop. And my mother taught us about being, how to survive, you know, how to come through tough times. And so I had to lean on that. And plus, you know, I had my family around me helping me, but I really had some soul searching to do that summer. I mean, I prayed a lot, man. I had asked God to give me strength and help get me through this. And every day I got up, man, I just went to work. Every day I got up, I just went to work and say, I'm gonna go back and I'm gonna redeem myself. And unfortunately, I never got that opportunity to play for another championship. I felt in 99, when Jordan retired, we were gonna get back, and we end up getting back, but they end up trading me that during that lockout. And I was like pissed about that, because I felt that, you know, we was gonna go to the championship, which obviously we did and end up losing. But you know, you just can't, you can't let things overpower you. You know, your mind is the powerful weapon. If you let things seep into your mind, it can destroy you. And I wasn't going to let one game or one day or 2 hours dictate the rest of my life. And so I had to bounce back. And plus, I had family, you know. Right. I had a wife and I had my kids. And so I was, you know, I had to do it for them. And I had to get back in the ring and keep fighting.
You know, I wanted you to tell that story because, you know, I'm dealing with younger players now and I'm in AAU and stuff like that. And I see, you know, young cats just get crushed sometimes and they have a bad game. They don't know how to bounce back. Like, you're going to have a bad game sometime. Yeah. It's sometimes the ball just not going to go in the hole. But you got to bounce back. You know, and that's just what about. And, but a lot of times people see John Starks and they see Raekwon, but they don't know the hurdles that you had to climb and the mountains that you had to climb to get to where you are. You know, they just see the end product. They just see, you know, the John Stark dunking on MJ and all of them. You know what I mean? They just see the, you know what I mean, the platinum, the albums over and over, Raekwon, but they don't know everything that you had to do to get there. And Raekwon, if you have something like that, that you can tell, you know, personally of how, what you had to overcome. Because the thing is, sometimes we have a tendency to try to baby young people into thinking that everything is just going to go smoothly for them. Like, their plans are just, whatever plan, whatever vision board they have, or however they figure their life is supposed to be, it's just going to happen with no bumps and no anything like that. And that's not the way that life works. You know what I'm saying? Society. So that's why I like to use.
Society we live in.
Right. Right. Yeah. So that's why I like to use some of these stories as inspirations for them to know that, you know, that's not how it works. But go ahead, Raekwon.
I think that we have to realize that as people, we're not perfect, you know? I don't care. Everybody goes through ups and downs, and, you know, that's a part of life. It's about being able to get back up. It's not about always, you know, I can't take a loss. Like, I have an 18-year-old son, and he has a problem with, you know, with losing, you know, or whatever it may be. Even if I'm telling him something, he might be like, damn, dad, you balked me out in front of everybody. And I'm like, I'm not balking at you. I'm just giving you tough love. But at the end of the day, you know, I think a loss is almost necessary sometimes, you know, because it balances you. It teaches you that don't think you above anything or above anybody, you know.
Yeah.
So when I sit here and I listen to John, you know, and he expressed his emotions and, like you said, you know, crying, and, you know, sometimes that makes you stronger. You know what I mean? You go through something in your mind that had to happen to put you back in perspective. You know, so sometimes, you know, if an album, say for instance, you know, my second album, Immobility, it's called Immobility. I thought it was a great album. A lot of people didn't think it was a great album.
Right.
You know, to me, you know, I felt like it was a great album, but I still felt like I let down a lot of people because they wanted more from me. And it was something that bothered me for probably like 48 hours. But then it was like, you know what? I'm going to come back. I'll be back.
Right.
I'll be back. Don't worry. Right. It's cool. You know what I mean? I understand that. I understand that y'all wanted this and y'all wanted that. But I was just trying to, you know, explore my horizons and do things that I thought might have been a little bit more impactful far as growth is concerned. But sometimes it may not work that way sometimes for you. You know, when you have to take 3 steps back to come back 10 steps forward. So that's what I call those situations. So anytime I see somebody in a slump, you know what? It happened for a reason. And you're going to dominate it next time because you know now. You've experienced it. You experienced something that you probably never had to before, but it came. And now it's all about how you get back up. Get back up. It's like how our mother used to tell us, whether you in the street, you have a fight or whatever, you may lose, but at least get one or two in.
Right.
You know, I ain't mad at you. I ain't mad at you getting your ass whooped, but if it happens, hey, you know what? You get back up and you give it your best. And I think that that's what make great men and great women is the fact that you able to accept the loss and turn it into a win, because a loss is only just an imperfection of a win.
That's true. I like that.
You know?
I like that.
And you know, it is special, and I think that's a great philosophy. But let me also say, you set the bar pretty high with the purple tape. You know what I'm saying? I mean, for real, honestly, young people watching this ain't even gonna know what I'm talking about. That was probably the only tape that I literally wore out and had to get a new tape. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it wouldn't play no more. Like, I played it so much, it wouldn't play no more, just straight through. So you really
know what kind of bar, you know what kind of bar I have to deal with? That, see? It goes back to, like I said, like, you know, every album I make, it's like people want to compare that to that.
Yeah.
So it, you know, it messes with me a little bit, and to the point where I had to be like, look, I'm just going to go out there and be the best I could be.
Right.
You know, and that's all I can do. I can't sit here and design every album according to what I was doing at that time, you know. But one thing I can do is learn. That's why I keep going back to saying a good listener is a good learner.
Yeah.
You know, you listen to people, whether they feel like you on point or you not. You listen and you learn from what they're saying. And then you just go back out there and you put your best foot forward. You know, that's why, to me, that's why the Knicks is so legendary, you know?
Yeah.
It don't matter if you don't win a ring, because y'all won a ring in people's hearts.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
In New York City and people all over the world, like, you know, that hat is golden. You know what I mean? I'm wearing a Rangers hat right now. I don't remember the Rangers in the series, but, hey, you know what I mean? Their team that was special at some point.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. For me, it's all about learning, man. And if you're not willing to learn, I don't know what to tell you, you know?
Yeah. John, let me ask you this, John. Who are the young players that you like watching now? Like, who are some of your favorite? You know, the game is different. You know, of course, it's different. You know, but who are some of the young players that you like watching?
Mm-hmm. Love Westbrook. I just love his mentality, man. He got that dog mentality every time he step out of the court. He's coming at you, no matter who it is. And
it is.
The respect that I got from him is you don't hear him complain about who he's playing with. He's like, whoever's on my team, we're just going to go out, we're going to roll. You know, like, I remember when Durant left Oklahoma City and left Westbrook there by himself. And he was playing with who? You know what I mean? Who was those dudes he was playing with, right? He had a two guard that could hit the side of a barn. You know what I'm saying? And literally watched this man put that team on his back.
Word.
In the West. You know, West was strong at that time.
Yeah.
In the West after Kevin, because they thought they was just going, okay, Oklahoma City, get ready to go down.
Right, here. Exactly.
This man averaged a triple-double for the – you know how hard that is for the season. And he put that team on his back and carried them into the playoffs. I was like, nah, he's – you know what I mean? And then you hear guys going out with injuries, and I'm not going to name players, but, you know, great player, you know what I mean? And they – yeah, man, I was hurt. That's why we didn't make the playoffs. No, I watched this dude by himself put a team on his back, like, get on board. We going to the playoffs. That, like, shut it down for me. I like that kid right there. Then when I seen him and met him in person, I didn't realize how big he is.
Yeah.
You know, he's 6'4", like a grown man. You know what I'm saying? I say, I see why he be dominating these guys. I understand.
And he got the John Starks mentality. So, you know what I mean? So, there's no big surprise that you picked him.
He just a big aversion, man. I just love his tenacity. And like I say, he don't complain. You know what I mean? He don't complain who he play with. He's like, get on my back. Like we're trying to do up here in Washington. They got outside of him and Bradley Beal and maybe the big kid from Gonzaga. You know, he's steady. Triple-double. He's amazing. I got a lot of respect for Westbrook.
I agree. Ray, who you listen to now in the rap game? Like who are the people that you vibe to?
I mean, it's, you know, the young boys is doing their thing, man. You know, one thing I'm always say is like talent is talent. You got talent and it shows, and I don't have a particular artist, you know. I just like guys that's just out there doing their thing and staying consistent, you know. Like he said, it's just about getting out there, and no matter who you up against, who you competing with, you just got to come out with a win. And a lot of these young boys is doing their things. Like, I like the Migos. I think the Migos is dope, you know. then, of course, you know, you got the Drakes. You got the, you know, you got so many guys out there that's doing their thing. And you still got the legends out there, such as myself and a few more that's doing their thing as well. But it ain't really one particular person that I could say, yo, is amazing to me, you know. It's a couple of them, you know, but I'm running with the Migos right there.
I didn't think he was going to say it. See, I like Griselda. I think that they got that like Wu-Tang kind of feel a little bit. You know what I mean?
With Griselda, you know, those are my boys, Benny, Conway, Westside, you know, those guys, they definitely come off like as if they was around the time we came out. And when I met them, it definitely felt like a reflection, a true reflection. And, you know, when it comes to lyrical skills, yeah, those boys is bad. They bad. And believe it or not, I remember coming to one of their shows. They invited me to one of their shows. And I had told the crowd, like, yo, these are the guys, you know what I mean? This is real hip hop. This is true hip hop. Mm. And ever since then, they took off, you know?
Right.
People say, yo, Chef, yo, you had a lot to do with that. I'm like, nah, I'm just calling it. I see it, man. When you recognize dope talent or a dope player, you give it up. You give it up. Yeah. And that's just who we are. Mm. We give it up, you know? But like I said, it's multiple guys that I respect in the business that's doing their thing, man. I'm so proud of these guys because they're keeping our legacy lit. Mm-hmm. And hopefully they'll get to that level one day where they could sit like me and John and cool out and still do the things that we love to do, because we ain't dropped the ball, baby. You know what I mean? We still here going hard by.
You, could also tell that they listen to Wu-Tang growing up, though, too. So that's what they do. So I'm going to ask you one last question, though, John. The Knicks now. You know, they're playing well. If the playoffs started today, they would be in the playoffs. You know, they doing great. Thibodeau got them cats playing hard. You know, it's almost like a little bit reminiscent of the Knicks in your day, just to some of the gritty style that they're playing with. Give me a quick evaluation of them before I let you go.
No, I love the way they're playing. I got a chance to go to a game against Toronto on Saturday. And I think it's Saturday or Sunday. No, on Sunday, excuse me, because they played last night back to back. But I love that mentality. You know, I said when Thibodeau got here, one thing that you're going to see in the Knicks is that they're going to have an identity, which they haven't had an identity for some years, that they're going to come out there and they're going to play defense and they're going to get after you. And same crew that they had last year, with the exception of couple of rookies that came in and IQ and Toppin, but the same crew, and they come in there and they battle, You know what I mean? They get after you on the defensive end of the court. As you know, defense going to give you a chance to win every single night. And they one of the top defensive teams in the league. And they record showing that. And so they're not the gifted offensive teams that you see out there, but they got guys that can put the ball in the hole, and they got guys that's tough-minded and going to go out there and play hard every single night. And that's what it takes in order to win in this league. And so, as you know, defense has been frowned upon over a lot of years. It's all about the offensive end of the court. And then when you have a coach that has that defensive mentality and put that inside of the team and they come out, teams don't know what hit them. Right. You don't supposed to be playing defense. We're supposed to just be running up and down and freelancing and doing what we do. Nah, these guys are getting after it. And that's going to give them a chance to win every single night. So I love their attitude. Having a young player like IQ, Emmanuel Quickly, come in and really showing the leadership role. I love the way he plays the game. You know what I mean? He's not afraid to go out there and get in one face. And, you know, you just watch his maturity out there on the court. And Toppin, you know, being from Brooklyn and wanting to come here and play and back in his home city. And, you know, he has a lot of growth, but you see potential is there in him. And so, and then watch Julius Randle and RJ Barrett, Mitch Robinson, you know, D Rose back here again, you know, all these guys, you know what I mean? They just going out there and just playing, man. I love their fight, their grit, and they taking on that personality of the city. And Thibodeau, he was here during those glory days, and he understands what type of team that have to represent New York, and they represent New York in a big way this year.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You got to give it up to them. They playing some good ball. I got to be honest with you. I wanted to see Mark Jackson get the head job. I did. Mm. That's who I was rooting for to get the head job of New York. But Thibodeau, you got to tip your hat to him. He's doing a great job. So definitely. Hey, Ray, I'm going to get one more question. I'll let y'all go. I can talk to y'all forever, but I ain't going to hold y'all. For, you know what I mean? Y'all are legends in this. You know, so I want to milk every little bit that I can milk. I'm glad you came back too, Ray. You know, we lost an icon in DMX a few days ago, and it hit me hard. I mean, because I read his book, you know, when I was, you know, coming, I think I was just coming out of college. I read his book. I read about, you know, some of the struggles that he had. You know, I just saw him perform at Howard Theater, like maybe a few years ago, like before COVID. And literally, he poured his whole heart out on the stage. You know what I mean? Like, you just felt the emotion from him, you know, and he's praying in between and he's talking about battling demons and, you know, he's talking about trying to do better. And then he's talking about the demons again, keep coming. You know, it was just it's an amazing emotional experience seeing him perform. Tell me what his passing meant to you and how it affected you.
Man, I mean, it was hurtful, man. I mean, you know, my whole day was just, I was out of it that day. You know, I knew DMX personally. And I remember me and him hanging out one time at Beverly Hills, and we was just doing simple stuff. And this was like my time I really had one-on-one time with him, because, you know, sometimes when we see each other, it's always the media, the paparazzi, the press, everybody around. But this particular time, it was just me and him. He had a couple of his boys with him. I had a couple of mine. And I remember us just sitting down and having soup together. We was just, I guess we was hungry and we had some good chicken noodle soup. And I remember us just talking and just kicking in. And I'm like, damn, this is really a good brother. Like, you know, sometimes people listen to the music and they think, you know, we don't have a heart or we not cool on that level that you may think. But I realized that, yo, this is, if I was from his neighborhood, I would have been his man. I would have been hanging with him. But that day of his passing and, you know, going home, it definitely affected me, my family, my brothers, you know, and especially the world. You know, he was a great man, and he was a man of God, you know. And DMX, the type of person, he was like Old Dirty, you know. He had a strong personality, you know. He did what he wanted to do when he wanted to do it. And, you know, he's going to always be here with us, you know, his music and you know, this man sold 75 million records just to let the world know. Mm. So he did his thing, and he was very impactful in the communities, you know, and, you know, it was just tough, you know. We lost a great, you know. But at the end of the day, like I said, you know, I send my condolences out to his family, to the whole Rough Riders crew. You know, X was that guy, man. X was, and one thing about him, like you said, he was so spiritual, and I respect men that are spiritual. You know, spiritual is important these days.
You know? Yeah, you got to have a balance. Yeah,
it's like that balance. You have to balance things, and I guess that comes with success sometimes, where, you know, we realize, damn, we getting these blessings and we taking them for granted sometimes. And, you know, DMX taught us that. He taught us how to be more spiritual with ourselves and go out there and do the things that you want to do. Like, this guy was not only just a great man, but he was an actor as well. You know, classic movies, classic albums, you know, definitely danced with some of the best artists in the game and made it easy. You know, he left a lifetime legacy, and that's what it's all about.
Wow. No, he was special in that way, man. Best. You know, the song Slipping.
That
touches me, man.
That was what I thought about, right?
Yeah, that, man, every time I listen to that, it just takes me back, you know what I mean, to my past. And he touches that, man, and his songs uplift people and get you through some tough times, you know what I mean, because he was so real. You know, his life was an open book, you know what I mean? And, you know, us being in entertainment, from sports to entertainers, you know, our life is an open book, you know what I mean? You can't hide nothing. And so, but he didn't let that stop him, you know what I mean? That's what I appreciate about that brother, man. He didn't let that stop him, no matter what he was going through, you know, he kept pushing. He kept pushing to the end. And I got a lot of respect for DMX.
Definitely, definitely, y'all. Well, I appreciate y'all. Before I let y'all go, Chef, I know you got a new album coming out. I heard y'all mention it on the Verses. You're going to have a part three? Is that what it was? Cuban Links part three you working on? Like, you got to tell the people about that. I heard you mention it real quick on the Verses. I was like, wait, what'd he say? Did he say Cuban Links part three? Tell me about that.
We're going to definitely close the trilogy. I mean, you know, like I said, when I made this album back in 1995, you couldn't tell me it was going to be a three-part series vibe, though. But I'm always trying to do things to, you know, make the fans feel comfortable with what they may want. But I'm going to drop something else before I drop the three, because one thing about me, I never like to rush my music, you know, and I'm going to give guys some dope music before I hit you with the three. Kind of to warm it up, just to get in the field to let you guys know the importance of it, because it's that ring that y'all want me to give you guys. So I want to give it to you, though. So definitely Cuban Links 3, get ready, you know. Right. It's going to be fire. You know, also, you know, I got to promote my wine that I got. I got a wine out.
All right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
what's called it called?
Licata.
Licata.
Yeah, Licata. it's a red wine. It's a red wine from Italy. But you know, like I said,
where can we pick that up? I'm a wine drinker, bro.
Yeah. I gotta send you some bottles then, man.
Okay.
All right. That's not a problem, but definitely, you know, if people want to get it as well, you know, you could go online to licata.com. You know, you can, you know, we got direct to consumer going on. So, you know, all my people out there. But, John, I got to send you some special.
We'll make sure we exchange information and stuff like that after. Sure. We want to promote it too. Promote what you're doing too on the show. So, we definitely do that. And, John, you still have your stuff with the foundation. You're still doing, I remember, you know, I was going to your 3-on-3 tournament in Tulsa when I was young. Like, it's crazy because I got a picture from when you came to my middle school. I'm a young cat. taking a picture with you with John Starks. My mama got it right now. You ain't the one with Wayne Tisdale, you know, because Wayne Tisdale came too. It's y'all are the legends. So y'all came and really, you know, imparted y'all knowledge to us. And we, you know, all the OGs did. Lee Mayberry would come talk to us, you know what I mean? All the cats. So we appreciate it. But talk about your foundation and then I'll let y'all go.
I've been doing my foundation since 94 to give out scholarships to graduating students in the tri-state area, as well as scholarships back home in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And, you know, we've been very fortunate over the years to be able to help a lot of incredible young kids get off to college. And, you know, since 94, man, don't know how many scholarships we didn't gave out, but it's been a blessing, you know what I mean? Because my agent asked me, what do you want to do in return and give back? And I told him, you know, I thought about what I had to go through coming out of high school because I wasn't recruited, you know, as far as getting a scholarship. I had to go the traditional route to go to college and apply for Pell Grants and find money. And so I knew how hard that process was. So I said, you know what, I want to start a foundation to be able to give out scholarships. And I've been going strong ever since 94. You know, I didn't see a lot of, you know, other foundations, you know, athletes foundations coming up. But we've been blessed that I have good people around me and people that have the same vision that I have. And then I have, you know, great sponsors who believe in what we're trying to get accomplished. And, you know, all we're doing is trying to, you know, give a young person a chance at life. You know what I mean? It's easy to go down that road, which we all know you can go down. But the hardest thing is to, you know, believe in yourself and push forward to, you know, to do great things in your life. And so just ask them, you know, just to go out there and, you know, run. You know what I mean? You give that kid that opportunity, he's going to run with it, you know. But if that opportunity never comes, then what you expect? And so we're just going to continue to, you know, raise money and continue to send kids to school.
Man, that's great, man. I much respect to both of y'all brothers and what y'all are doing. You know, y'all legends in the game, but then legends in life and in giving back. Like, it's so important. So, because so many people, you know, young people coming up are affected by y'all. And y'all are like, you know, there's certain people who will always be looked at with reverence, you know, forever. You know what I mean? Like, Wu-Tang is something that, you know, some music, it don't age well. You know, Wu-Tang ages and it's like you just heard it. Like you put up, like my kids be bumping Wu-Tang and I, you know what I'm saying? You know, they listen to a whole different kind of hip hop nowadays.
Well, it's timeless music.
It's timeless. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's much respect to y'all. Much respect to y'all brothers and everything that y'all doing. And I'm glad that we connect. I'm glad that y'all never connected and now we connected on the rematch. That's dope, though, man.
I'm looking forward to that wine. That's what I'm looking for.
Oh, for sure, man. For sure.
Thank you for listening to The Rematch. You can find more episodes on basketballnews.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening. Be sure to subscribe and leave a review. You can also find my articles on basketballnews.com, along with exclusive content from Kenyon Martin, James Posey, and more. Follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at AtonThomas36. Let me know what you thought of this episode and who you'd like to see as a guest. I would love your feedback.